Drive Time 91.3. Always on the cutting edge. Welcome back to the show. It just ain't cricket. How Israel transfers land from Palestinians to settlers is the title of this article that appears on the website The Middle East Eye. Its author is Professor Kamal Hawash, who is a British Palestinian engineering professor who's based at the University of Birmingham and is vice chair of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign in that neck of the woods. Professor Kamal Hawash, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
It's a very interesting analogy you've used, the exclamation, the English idiom, it just isn't cricket.
Yes, as I said in my article, it's the cricket season in England, and I read this headline in Haaretz, the Israeli newspaper, which basically said that the Israeli government had facilitated, using all sorts of means, the transfer of land from Palestinians at the heart of East Jerusalem to settlers without these Palestinians even knowing that that had happened. And I thought, gosh, this isn't cricket. This isn't fair. So that was really the feeling that I had at the moment. I thought it was worth exploring in this article.
And of course, you point out into a Haaretz investigation that figures that 14 out of 15 so-called real estate acquisitions or land deals were actually forged, that they were not actually authentic.
That's correct. That when you hear that a subsidiary of this organization called Amana, which took the land or that had the land transferred to it in East Jerusalem, an investigation prior to this showed that 14 out of 15 deals had been forged. So clearly, A, we can't have confidence when Israeli settlers take over a plot of land or a property that they have secured it legally. First of all, in the occupied Palestinian territories, particularly in, say, in the city of Hebron, Al-Khalil, where this where some of the cases where this happened, they just simply move in, and then you have this long process of trying to prove that they were forgeries, if they were forgeries. So basically, they use any means to continue what is a settler colonial project, which is to take over land and property belonging to the indigenous Palestinians, make their life so difficult that they will just leave.
And of course, we just have to emphasize again that most of these business transactions, inverted commas, are illegal. Most of the deals are forged. And you've mentioned an organization called Amana, which is an offshoot of the Gush Emunim, a movement well known amongst the settlers. I mean, this is a very violent and very extremist movement, isn't it?
Indeed. Again, as I say, it's about this ideology which says, this land is ours. We are going to take it back whatever way we can and need to. And it is the Palestinians who are the passengers who should leave. If they would go off their own accord, fine. If they won't go off their own accord, we'll use every trick in the book, including, for example, sending a front person who's a Palestinian who supposedly buys a property, but in fact, he is someone who is transferring it immediately to settlers. So he is someone who's deceiving his Palestinian brothers and sisters in this process, or she, but they tend to be he. Again, this isn't cricket.
No, absolutely. And of course, the organization Amana, in fact, taking over a Palestinian household to use as its headquarters in the heart of East Jerusalem. A shiver runs down my spine.
Well, Sheikh Jarrah is a very important area in East Jerusalem. First of all, there's very little land left for Palestinians to expand in East Jerusalem. And taking over this plot of land, and the taking over of this family's land has been going on since 1968. It isn't new. What's new, the reason I was sort of moved to think about writing this article, is that it was the Israeli government using its various tools and bureaucratic arms and so on, that over a number of years, this didn't happen overnight, sort of handed this over to the settler organization, without even the owners knowing that this was happening. So then what you have is Amana is building its headquarters in East Jerusalem. So this organization that wants to change the demography, if we can use that word, of East Jerusalem from being a Palestinian, Christian and Muslim part of the city to being a Jewish city, Judaizing Jerusalem, making it also, for those who are interested in peace and those who believe in the two-state solution, making it impossible for East Jerusalem to become a capital for Palestine in the future. But this is really, on the back of the whole Zionist enterprise was built on a lie, that it was that Palestine was a land without a people, for a people without a land. And both were lies, because the Palestinians lived and continued to live in the land. And as for Zionists, well, they were living as citizens in many, many countries, including Jews who lived in Arab countries, peacefully coexisting with Christians and Muslims, such as in Syria, in Iraq, in Yemen, in Lebanon, in Egypt, throughout the Middle East.
No, absolutely. Then there's another organization, ELAD. It also works in East Jerusalem, and it, according to you, has received, I don't know whether it's pounds or dollars, but it's 115 million in South African rands. The zeros run off the page.
Yeah, indeed. But you see, this is a deliberate plan, because the idea is to change the East Jerusalem from a Palestinian city, as it is. And indeed, of course, for your listeners, Jerusalem had a very high Palestinian population before 1948 anyway. Many of the properties that Zionist Israelis, Jewish Israelis, living in West Jerusalem continue to be owned by Palestinians who were driven out of the city and who live in the diaspora and in refugee camps all over the world. So they actually pushed them out one night, and the following morning they handed the keys over to a Jewish family who happily took the property, which is shameful. How do you take someone else's property knowing they've been driven out through terror from their home city? So first of all, it isn't just East Jerusalem. The West Jerusalem de-Palestinization, if you like, happened in 1948, and now it is this additional plan that is well-funded from outside Palestine stroke Israel by those who support the settler movement, who want to change the east part of Jerusalem into a Jewish area as much as they can. So, for example, another issue that affects Palestinians in East Jerusalem is those Palestinians who remain find it impossible almost to get planning permission to expand as their families grow. So you have on the one hand Israel saying settlements, illegal settlements, need to grow for natural purposes, but then they do not give the same right, as they consider it, to the Palestinians in East Jerusalem, who are squeezed out. And of course, as they begin to find accommodation outside of Jerusalem, then Israel says, you don't live in Jerusalem, therefore we'll take away your residency permit in Jerusalem, because you don't need it anymore. Again, trying to reduce the Arab population, the Palestinian population in East Jerusalem, turning the city into a Jewish city.
If you just tuned in, it's Voice of the Cape Drive Time. Our special guest is Professor Kamal Hawash, British-Palestinian engineering professor. He's based at the University of Birmingham and is vice chair of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign. We're talking about an article he's written entitled Just Ain't Cricket, How Israel Transfers Land from Palestinians to Settlers. And one organization we've been talking about, Amana, of the 15 deals that it's supposed to have forged, 14 of them were proved by Haaretz, not by us, by Haaretz, and that's an Israeli newspaper, as being absolutely forged. Also, a family in East Jerusalem, a Palestinian family, finding themselves dispossessed of their house without even their knowledge, and this hostile Zionist organization planning to use their house as its headquarters. Professor Wash, let's have a look at another organization that's very active in East Jerusalem, Atarit Kohenim. And this is the organization that I also believe wants to construct the third, so-called third Jewish temple, and the source of much fitna, of much malcontent.
Yes, I mean, particularly in the area, either in the old city itself or in an area called Silwan, which is just basically at the sort of the foot of Al-Aqsa Mosque of the Haram al-Sharif area, which Israelis call the Temple Mount. Again, there's this move to both take over land and convert it into parks or car parks or whatever, but first of all taking it from Palestinians, but also moving settlers into Silwan, which they say is the city of David. So trying to, you know, something that doesn't exist now, they want to sort of create against the will of the population there. And of course, what they do is not only to take over these homes, then you need security. So they need to a wider area to secure the illegal settlers. And one key point is, even when they claimed that land and property was owned by Jews, say, before 1948, they don't move in the descendants of the families who owned the land that they claimed they owned or the property before 1948. They bring in settlers who have come either from America or from other parts of the world and say, because they are Jewish, they're entitled to live in this property. And they bring them in the middle of the night, they take over the homes, and then they become neighbors that nobody wants, because they are there because they want to make life difficult for their neighbors, and they will move out and then move in more settlers, and over time you change the character of the area. That is the sort of mentality that the Palestinians in East Jerusalem have to deal with. And the thing is, I think the question to your listeners is, how would you feel if that was being done to you? You know, next door, somebody moves in who has no right to move in, either because they have this claim that the state has accepted that either the land used to belong to Jews before 1948, or the Palestinians whose home it is can't come and live in it because Israel kicked them out in 1948 and won't allow them to come back and live in them. So they say, well, they're absentees, therefore we take over their houses. It's all deliberate means, including forgeries, including deceptions, to take over Palestinian homes and properties and land, particularly in East Jerusalem. But also I allude to the problems that people face in Hebron, the same sort of attack, and this time with the family who lost their home in or their land in East Jerusalem. It is Israeli government, which claims to be this only democracy in the Middle East, that is behaving in a completely undemocratic way, and again, detained cricket.
Now, of course, you've just very briefly mentioned the absentee law. This law has been in existence for some time, hasn't it? One of the most notorious and oppressive laws against Palestinians, because you've already alluded to it, that what the authorities rule is, if you're not there, you don't own the land, so it's confiscated from you. And I think research reveals that about 70% of Palestinian land, a significant percentage of it which was waqf, has been dispossessed according to the so-called absentee law.
The Guardian of land apparently said that when he was asked by Robert Fisk, a well-known journalist, what proportion do you think of the land that the state now owns is land that's been taken over in this way? And that's what he said. I haven't seen other sources that are disputing this claim. So it shows you, it's about taking other people's land and property to increase the Jewishization of the land of Palestine, of historic Palestine. And I think for people who are interested in peace and finding a settlement, you have to ask yourself, a state, a government that behaves in this way, that allows NGOs to deceive and forge to gain more land from the indigenous population, how can it claim to want peace? How can it claim to want peace? It doesn't want peace. What it would be ideal for Israel to have is for the Palestinians to leave and for the land west of the River Jordan to be for Jews only. And we are in the 21st century. We have in the UK equality laws, and many other countries have equality laws, where people live together and respect each other. But here we are, Israel singling itself out to do whatever it can to push out a substantial amount of the population. And west of the River Jordan, Jews and Palestinians are almost of equal numbers. But one side lives in what is a democracy for Jews, and the other side lives under occupation or under discrimination where they are in Israel itself. And that is something that needs to end. And I don't mean that people have to leave or anything like that, but that structure of oppression needs to end if we're going to have peace in that part of the world.
Of course, something that is mischievous, I use that word quite expressly, is the fact that we find people outside of Israel interfering, I would say, with the affairs of the country by pumping in millions, billions of dollars into these crazy ideas of stealing Palestinian land. For example, the American bingo billionaire Irving Moskowitz, he's been at it for decades, hasn't he? A very notorious gentleman.
Well, a lot of them are. And, you know, you have another guy who is supporting now the Trump campaign with millions of fans just because he believes he will support Israel. It is true that sometimes I think even Israelis in Israel think, are these people really trying to help us? How can anyone be trying to help Israelis feel a sense of security and feel a sense of stability when there are people who are doing things that actually incite against the Israelis? Because, you know, if you are a family that's thrown out of your home in the middle of the night, what sort of attitude are you going to have to the people who do this to you? A, you won't love them. And then they say, how can you hate them? Well, how can you, you know, think, well, it's okay, guys. Yeah, take over my house. Take over my home. I will be a model occupied person, and I will just go quietly. Nobody would do that. I challenge anyone who is listening to this conversation who will say, yeah, okay, if I'm thrown out of my home for whatever reason, and especially if it's through deception, then I will just take it and go and set up a tent and live in it. And funnily enough, even when Palestinians would be thrown out of their homes in East Jerusalem have set up tents, the Israelis have come and destroyed them because they are illegal structures.
And so it goes on. Our special guest, Professor Kamal Hawash, British-Palestinian engineering professor based at University of Birmingham and vice chair of the Palestine Solidarity Campaign, in his neck of the woods, talking about It Just Ain't Cricket, how Israel transfers land from Palestinians to settlers. Absolutely galling stuff. Professor Hawash, it's been a pleasure.
Thank you very much indeed for having me.
Drive Time 91.3, always on the cutting edge.